Hey, man, you take your liberty in the Lord, brother. Thank you. Amen.
Well, thank you for the opportunity to just share God's word with each of you. This kind of thing is always a very important thing for anyone who gets up in front of just holds forth God's word. I mean, it's not something to be taken lightly. It's our Heavenly Father's word. And you know, when Gary talked to me a long time ago about doing this, it's something I take serious. And if I can't put the time and effort into it, I don't want to commit myself to it. So this morning I want to talk to you about, I have spirit, now what? Now what do I do? Now that I'm born again, what do I do? What do I do with the spirit that I have? And I hope each of you brought a Bible, and if not, maybe you can scoot next to somebody who does have one, because we're going to be going through the scriptures. So our opening verses are going to start in Acts chapter 1. I'm going to start in verse 4. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. So Jesus, this is just before his ascension, he's preparing his apostles, telling them what they need to prepare for. And he tells them to stay in Jerusalem, wait there, for the promise which I've spoken to you about, and you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit. And then if you would, turn back a book to Luke chapter 24 and verse 49. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. So we're going to take a little close look at these verses. What are they talking about? And what do they mean to each of us? We'll also look at what happened after they were endued with power from on high. So if you would bow with me, we'll just pray, and then we'll get into it. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this opportunity that we have to fellowship one with another around your word. Father, I just pray that you help me to minister to your people, that you can open up the eyes of our understanding, that we can receive that which you've put in your word for us to receive. And Father, I just pray for each and every heart here that they can be blessed with the words that I'm sharing, that you're sharing through me. And I thank you for this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So a couple of weeks ago, Pastor Gary covered an area of scripture which we should all be aware of, and that is that God originally made man as a three-part being, body, soul, and spirit. And that spirit life that God made within us was the most important part of our existence. It says in the scriptures that God is spirit. So when God created man in his own image, it wasn't the flesh that we see. It wasn't the soul life that we have. It was the spirit life that he made. And that was in his image. When Adam and Eve sinned, it was the spirit that died. Man lost his direct connection to God. And from that point on, until Christ died, was resurrected, and ascended into heaven, and was seated at the right hand of God, man was wandering around incomplete. Think of a trike missing the big front tire and the pedals. There's no way that it works as it was designed. If you were given a trike as a kid and you had the two wheels, and this, you would figure out how to make it work, but you would never enjoy how a trike really works. Until we are born again, we're in that state. We're kind of limping along, getting things going, but we're not nearly as efficient or effective as we should be or can be. So let's look again at our text. I want to keep coming back to this off and on. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And then again in Luke 24:49, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. So the apostles were assembled together in Jerusalem, waiting for the promise that Jesus spoke about, this power from on high. We can learn from the reading in Acts chapter 1 that as they waited, they were meeting daily together, and that would have been in the temple, which was in Jerusalem. So let's pick up the text in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I want to pause right there, and I want you to think about that last little bit in that sentence. And began to speak with tongues as the, who gave them utterance? The Spirit gave them utterance. Keep that in mind as we go on. This is the spiritual baptism that we have read about. This was the first day that the Spirit was made available in this way. They had been told to wait for the promise. And they knew the time was come when they heard the wind and saw the cloven tongues. God made sure that it was very clear, this is now, this is the moment, this is what Jesus has prepared you for. Get ready, here it comes. Isn't it interesting that the first manifestation mentioned regarding the Spirit that they had just received is that they spoke with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance? There's a lot of different things they could have done with the Spirit. We can read in Corinthians about all the different manifestations that are available. This was the first one. This is such a critical part of what we are looking at this morning. And we are going to look at a few other scriptures concerning this new Spirit life that we now have and the significance of it. Specifically, I want to spend some more time looking at speaking in tongues and what it means to us and how we get it and how we do it. Before that, I want to take a moment and share a little bit about my story. So I was raised in a church. My folks took me on a regular basis. We went Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesdays. I had a great upbringing in the church. But I got to a point in my life where I had questions that I couldn't get answers for. I was looking in the scriptures, and I just was not getting the answers that I was looking for. I saw areas where it talked about healing. I saw areas in the Bible that it talked about the manifestations of the Spirit. I saw areas in the Bible where it talked about people who were possessed by devil spirits. And I thought, well, what happened to all that? That doesn't make sense. Why don't we hear about that today? I didn't grow up hearing about that. It was an area of Scripture that had kind of been avoided. So I started seeking answers, and I went to the elders in the church, and I went to our preacher in the church, and they gave me various opinions, but I wasn't really interested in opinions. I wanted to know what God's word had to say. So at that point, Karina and I were a newly married couple, and I was working on this job out in Eagle. We was building a prison, of all things. So I was the guy out in the concrete plant, and I was putting the electrical boxes in the prison cells for the inmates someday. And as I'm working, I have a lot of time on my hands. I'm just a one-man show, and I'm in this Connex, this hot Connex, and I'm preparing stuff. And so I got a lot of time on my hands, and I'm praying. I'm asking God, please send somebody. I need answers. I can't figure this out on my own. I need some help. And I pray, and I pray. And one day, it got so busy that we had to get some more help out on the job. And the shop sends out this guy named Robert Gause. And I'd worked with Robert Gause before. I didn't think there was anything special about him. But I needed help, and so great, we'll work together. So we started working together, and you know, when you're working closely with somebody, you have time to talk about things, and different subjects come up, and different topics come up. And one day he asked, you know, so what do you believe? And that opened the door, and we started talking about what I believed. And I started sharing with him the questions that I had. And for the first time, I had somebody say, well, you know, that's a really good question. Let's go to the Bible and see what God's Word has to say about it. And we did that again and again and again. And he opened and expanded the scriptures to me. And it was a way that I was able to, for the first time, really understand that it's not of my opinion. It's not of the preacher's opinion. It's what God's Word says. It's the integrity of God's Word that matters when you're looking about learning what does God want for our lives, what is important to us on a daily basis. So that was the start of my walk, as I put it, with God. And from that point on, through that job, Robert, while we were there, he led me into speaking in tongues, taught me about that, which I'm going to also share with you this morning. And it started a whole new path for my family, one that I would say has been more than abundant. So the important thing, as I wanted to share there, is God sent someone to expand and open the scriptures unto me. And just as we heard some requests this morning, God knows how to get people to who they need to be in touch with. So let's now turn to Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. Romans chapter 10, starting in verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Shalt be saved. Not maybe be saved, not partially saved, not somewhat saved. Shalt. And when God's word says shalt, or will bring to pass, it will happen. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. When we believe, not only are we saved and our sins forgiven, but there is something else that happens. We're born again of the Spirit. Turn back just a couple chapters to Romans chapter 8, verse 15. So we're born again of the Spirit. And Romans chapter 8, verse 15 says, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption. And that word adoption can actually better be translated as sonship. We have received the spirit of sonship, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And Abba, Father, if you work that word, is about the most endearing term that a child can have towards his father. It's like saying, Daddy, Daddy. The spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Wow, we are forgiven of our sins. We receive Holy Spirit, and we become sons of God. What limitless access. What limitless grace. What limitless power. And our Heavenly Father has made it all available to us. Think about your own earthly children. Is there any good thing you would withhold from them if it's within your power to do? How much more our Heavenly Father, God, is going to do for us when we ask? But wait a minute, if I have spirit within me now, shouldn't I be able to access it? Didn't we just read that on the day of Pentecost they spoke with other tongues? Is this available to me today? The answer is yes. This topic, speaking in tongues and other manifestations of the Spirit, they're rarely discussed or talked about in churches today. To be honest, it's not hard to see why. It's hard to explain what speaking in tongues is, how it works, what its significance is. To much of the world, the whole idea that you can speak in a tongue that you do not already know is foolishness. Well, let's consider that. Turn, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 27. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Okay, that's pretty interesting. He's taken the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. There's a lot of people in this world who, if it can't be explained with science, it can't be explained with intellectual ascension, then it just can't be possible. Well, God uses the foolish things to confound them. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and we'll start in verse 12. Now we have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit. And the natural man is someone who's not born again. For they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So not everyone is going to get it when this topic comes up. And the devil has done a good job of placing doubt and fear and a stigma around this whole topic and other spiritual topics. So much so that the topic isn't even discussed that much. And is thought of as a little bit of hocus pocus. Well, this is a lie, and we need to dispel that lie, and we need to resist it at every turn. There are records that demonstrate that speaking in tongues was a sign of the new birth. I want to take some time, and we're going to look at one of these records. We're going to go to the 10th chapter of Acts. The record, as you guys are turning there, says that Cornelius was a devout man in chapter 10. And was one that respected God with all his household. He had been praying for answers, I imagine, much like I was. An angel appeared unto him and told him that God had heard his prayers and that he needed to send for Peter, who was in Joppa, and that Peter would tell him what to do. Cornelius does as the angel instructed and sends for Peter, and Peter returns to Cornelius' house and begins to teach Cornelius and his household. And we're going to pick up the record in verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word of God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That would I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him, Jesus, God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. To him give all the prophets witnesses that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. And while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord, and then prayed on them, prayed they to tarry certain days. So how did those that were with Peter recognize that they had also received the Spirit? They spoke in tongues. That was the sign unto them. That's how they knew. And you can read there's other records in Acts that go over the exact same thing. And when that didn't happen, then certain of the apostles would go and see what was going on. How come they hadn't manifested the Spirit? And it's also interesting to look at the word received. In the book of the in the Bible, the word received is translated from two words, dekomai and lambano. The word received, when it's used with lambano, means receive into manifestation. So you receive it and you do something with it. This is the kind of receiving we're talking about now. When it's dekomai, they receive it and maybe do nothing with it. So it'd be like if I gave you a check and you said, thank you very much, but you never cashed it, that you received the check, but you certainly didn't receive it into manifestation. That makes sense? Okay, so now let's look at chapter 11, because what's interesting about this record is chapter 11 expands a little bit more on it. So if you will, go to Acts 11, verse 15. We'll start in verse 15. So Peter's returned to Jerusalem with those who accompanied him, and he's given a detailed report regarding what had just happened. And starting in verse 15, and as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them, as it had on us in the beginning. Then I remembered the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? So we read in chapter 10 where Peter was anxious and he was like, hey, we got to get these guys dunked under the water. And then he's expanding more on it and he says, then remembered I how that Jesus said, indeed, John baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Isn't it amazing? Isn't the scripture clear? What a record we can consider and learn from. The manifestation of the Spirit speaking in tongues is how they knew that they had received the Holy Spirit. When you come to a realization of this, some scriptures of the that we read start making more sense. Once we realize that when we're baptized, born again, accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, that we're baptized with Spirit. We receive Spirit. We became as God intended, a three-part being. We got spirit life. And this spirit life is the most important part of our life. Our trike, it gets the big wheel and the pedals. We can really start maneuvering now. So now I have Holy Spirit within me. I'm a son of God. I've seen there are manifestations of the Spirit. What more can I learn about this? Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now concerning spiritual gifts or matters, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. When we read in the King James, you'll oftentimes see words that are italicized. That italicization means that those were added by men. Those were words that weren't in the ancient scripts, and somebody put it in there to try to make it easier to understand. Now concerning spiritual gifts, spiritual matters, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. So here we just read that God does not want us to be ignorant. Ignorance is absence of knowledge. So God doesn't want us to be absent of knowledge. He wants us to be knowledgeable. That no man speaking by the Spirit calleth Jesus accursed, and that the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. If it's given to us to profit, there must be something beneficial in it for us. So now you might be asking yourself, I know I did, what is speaking in tongues? Does the Spirit just take hold of me and I start doing it? Do I control it? What am I saying? How do I do it? First of all, and this is very important, God never possesses. That's the devil's department. We have freedom of will. It's up to us to seek the things of God. He doesn't force us. Speaking in tongues is you moving your mouth, your tongue, using your vocal box, controlling the volume, the length of time. All of that is up to you. But the Spirit gives the utterance. Let's look some more at what speaking in tongues is. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And verse 2. For he that speaketh in a tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. And let's also look at verse 14. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. Let's look at Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So when we pray in the Spirit makes intercession for us. Sometimes we don't know what we need to pray about. Sometimes we have thoughts in our mind or things come to us. And, you know, maybe you have somebody, you know, just somebody pops up in your head and you feel the Spirit saying, something's going on here, but you don't know what this situation is. What a perfect opportunity to pray in the Spirit, because the Spirit makes intercession for us. God knows what's needed there. Let's look at Jude, verse 20. But ye, beloved, building yourselves on the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit. Speaking in tongues is not difficult. The biggest hurdle is ourselves. We ponder, how can I speak words that I don't know? What if God doesn't do what he has promised? These are little fiery darts that the devil's throwing at us. He's putting those thoughts into our mind to get us off, to stumble us up. Let's look at Numbers chapter 23, verse 19. Anytime we have these fiery darts, this is a section of scripture you can turn to. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. It's for me, it's not for you. Verse 19. 23. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? God absolutely always backs up his word. If he promises he will do something, he absolutely will do it. Every time, it's up to us to believe it. We are conditioned from a very young age not to believe everything we're told. The devil has done a masterful job of doing that in this world. Remember the song, "This world is not our home." There's a reason. There are examples after example after example all around us of broken promises. Whether it's a politician, whether it's our parents telling us that there's a Santa Claus. I was quiet. Our adversary, the devil, is at work constantly trying to break down the faith, the believing that we have in God, creating stumbling blocks to trip us up, putting doubt in our minds. God is not like men. He is not of this world. He is faithful to his word, and he does the things that he says he will do. And as we learned earlier, we are his sons. We're his sons and his daughters. What good thing would he withhold from us? Turn, if you will, with me to Matthew chapter 21. And we're going to start in verse 21. 21, 21. Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, verily you could understand it better as truly. Truly I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if you shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. This is a big key to us receiving that which God has made available. Believe, and ye shall receive. So when you pray, are you believing that God is going to do the things that his word says he will do? Or are you just going through the motion? Think about that when you're praying. Believe, and you shall receive. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 4. Right after Ephesians. Philippians 4 and verse 13. This is another key to receiving. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. What's left out there? Did I miss? Let's see. All things. No, that's all means all. Just like shout means will do. Let's also go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I told you you'd get a workout in the scriptures today. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 20. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. So now that we have established that God will back up his word, the next thing is to step out and try it. The Spirit within you will provide the utterance. At first, you may only get a word or two out. You'll stop and go, oh, what was that? Did I just do it? Then you'll try again, and it'll become easier and easier. And that's the thing with God. As we trust him and believe his word and see him do what he says he will do, it gets easier and easier to believe. What was the song we sang this morning? How I've proved him over and over. When we put, you know, you could say you're putting God to the test, but really you're putting yourself to the test. You're putting yourself to the test to trust in God that he's going to do the things that he says he will. And once you step out, he will always bring it to pass. He never lets us down. The only thing that gets in our way is us, the stumbling blocks, the fiery darts from the adversary. I have one more verse to consider. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given of us, of God. His seed is within us. We have sonship. It's incorruptible seed. There's nothing we can do to screw that up. I hope that this has opened some of your understanding and taken away some of the fear that you may have had regarding speaking in tongues. There are a lot of folks here who maybe have some experience with that. If you have questions, If this is something that you're struggling with in your own spiritual walk, I can tell you from experience that once you've opened this door, there are many, many more doors that open for you. And that your spiritual growth, you'll grow in leaps and bounds beyond what your expectations are. Speaking in tongues, let's see here. Yeah. So I hope, like I said, that this has taken some of the fear away. And that you may want to learn even more regarding the Spirit within you and what God has made available through His Son, Jesus Christ. Because in truth, this only scratches the surface. So God bless you.